Have you ever been frustrated when trying to share your faith with your Latter-day Saint friend? Well, if so, may we suggest the book, Introducing Christianity to Mormons by Eric Johnson. Introducing Christianity to Mormons is available at the Utah Christian Research Center, located at 579 West Galena Park Place in Draper, Utah. Hours are Wednesday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. and Saturdays 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. For more information, please visit UtahChristianResearchCenter.com. Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry, and with me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. Yesterday, we began looking at a conference message given by Bradley R. Wilcox. He gave this message on Saturday, October 2nd, 2021. It's titled, Worthiness is Not Flawlessness. And as we pointed out yesterday, Bradley Wilcox is a second counselor in the Young Men General Presidency. This is not a general authority position, but naturally, the fact that he is speaking in general conference, you would think that he has something to say that those above him may agree with. I cannot imagine that they would allow someone speaking in general conference to outright contradict what current leaders and even what some past leaders have said. However, his message has been taken to be a, I guess you could say, Eric, a breath of fresh air. It certainly received a lot of accolades after he gave this message. But is Bradley Wilcox really teaching something different? Is he teaching a better understanding of what we would say is the New Testament good news? Or is he just putting, as I said yesterday, lipstick on a pig? I tend to think it's the latter, and we're going to demonstrate why as we go through this speech. And in yesterday's show, he makes the point how some people mistakenly understand certain aspects of Mormonism. And that's a very typical thing that people will do when you seem to understand it and it causes you problems to say, no, you misunderstand. You could say this is a type of gaslighting. And because a lot of people, when they understand Mormonism, get very depressed over it. Well, why do you think he's got to give a message like this? Probably because there's a lot of people within his church who, understanding the teachings of the LDS faith and what's required for exaltation, which is what the faithful are certainly desiring, they come to find out that it can be very depressing. Why the title of this talk? Worthiness is not flawlessness. Which reminds me, whenever I merely cite some verses from Mormon scripture, usually I'm told by the Latter-day Saint I'm speaking to, well, we're not perfect. And I will remind them, I never said that word. How did they draw that conclusion? Well, you would think that perfection is a type of flawlessness, wouldn't you? And the way leaders have described it, of course, it certainly seems that way. This is why he has to title the message, Worthiness is Not Flawlessness. But does he ever in this talk, Eric, give the impression that commandment keeping is not necessary or that true repentance is not necessary? He never does that. He mainly talks about what sanctification is. So in that context, some of the things he has to say, I don't think I would even disagree with, but you have to understand the context. So in yesterday's show, we cited him where he talked about some mistakenly receive the message that repentance and change are unnecessary. And of course, I don't think he's speaking to an LDS audience when he says that, because if there's anything the Latter-day Saint people are told over and over again is that repentance does demand change. You confess your sin, never to repeat those sins again.
He gives two more some mistakenly receive. And so let's go on the second one. Some mistakenly receive the message that repentance is a one-time event. God's message is that, as President Russell M. Nelson has taught, quote, repentance is a process, end quote. Repentance may take time and repeated effort, so forsaking sin and pain, quote, no more disposition to do evil but to do good continually, end quote, are lifetime pursuits.
Here's a question I would ask at this point in his talk. Okay, repentance may take time and repeated effort. So forsaking sin and having no more disposition to do evil, but to do good continually, which is a quotation from the Book of Mormon, are lifetime pursuits. Okay, I get that. But by the time my life ends, should I have accomplished what he says here? Should I have forsaken sin? Because that's the true definition of repentance, is forsaking sin, according to the Doctrine and Covenants, Section 58. You must forsake sin. And do I really get to the point where I have no more disposition to do evil, but to do good continually? Do Latter-day Saints do that? Have they come to that conclusion? If so, then why do so many of them sin, as do many of evangelical Christians sin? As much as we want to do what's right, you might say, we tend to fall into that sin because we are fallen creatures. Can a person who's in that fallen state and still struggling with sin end up in the celestial kingdom according to Mormonism? I would say no. And I think Bradley Wilcox knows that. So when he's giving this message, keep in mind, I think he's referring to the sanctification process, or at least what we would understand the sanctification process to be. Unfortunately, Mormonism tends to mix up what justifies and what sanctifies, and I think Wilcox does that occasionally, but that needs to be understood if we're going to adequately get what Wilcox, I think, is trying to get across in this message. Let's also look at what Russell M. Nelson taught when it comes to this commandment keeping that I mentioned earlier. Listen carefully to what Russell M. Nelson, the 17th president of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, who is president as Wilcox gives this speech, what does he say about keeping commandments?
He says, "Teach a faith to keep all the commandments of God, knowing that they are given to bless his children and bring them joy. Warn them that they will encounter people who pick which commandments they will keep and ignore others that they choose to break. I call this the cafeteria approach to obedience. This practice of picking and choosing will not work. It will lead to misery. To prepare to meet God, one keeps all of his commandments. It takes faith to obey them, and keeping his commandments will strengthen that faith." And Bill, I ought to mention that the word "all" in both times I used it are in italics, and that comes from the General Conference, written in the Ensign magazine, May 2011, page 34, in his talk, "Face the Future with Faith."
Now, do you think a Latter-day Saint feels comfort when they are told by their leader that in order to receive this type of blessing from God, they are commanded to keep all the commandments? And in that quotation that you cited, Eric, Nelson says it twice. Interesting. Wilcox also uses that same expression, that it's necessary to keep all the commandments. I wonder how many Latter-day Saints, in trying to hear portions of what Wilcox is saying, they turned a blind eye when Wilcox says that. Because if it's necessary to keep all the commandments in order to receive this type of blessing from God, as Russell M. Nelson said in that conference message in April of 2011, how in the world would you want to give kudos for that kind of message? See, that's what causes a lot of Latter-day Saints to be depressed. They know that they cannot keep all the commandments. But if Wilcox is going to cite Russell M. Nelson, let's put Nelson in his proper context, because as you showed, Eric, he teaches specifically that the Latter-day Saints need to be taught a faith which includes keeping all the commandments of God, all of the commandments of God. He says, to prepare to meet God, one keeps all of his commandments.
Well, and when it comes to covenants, what does a Latter-day Saint do every single week at sacrament? That Latter-day Saint covenants to keep all the commandments as well.
And that is brought up in the very next paragraph, where Wilcox says that life is like a cross-country road trip. We can't reach our destination on one tank of gas. We must refill the tank over and over. Taking the sacrament is like pulling into the gas station. As we repent and renew our covenants, we pledge our willingness to keep the commandments. Now, in light of that, there's an interesting statement that was made by Joseph Fielding Smith, who was the 10th president of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And this is in a modern church manual, Teachings of Presidents of the Church, Joseph Fielding Smith. This came out in 2013. You can find the quote on page 100. Joseph Fielding Smith, in this citation, seems to lament the fact that a lot of Latter-day Saints, when they partake of the sacrament, don't really understand what they're doing. In fact, he says, I wish we could get the members of the church to understand more clearly the covenants they make when they partake of the sacrament at our sacrament meetings. And what is it that they are making a covenant to do? Well, Henry B. Eyring, Russell M. Nelson's second counselor, answers that question. What does Eyring say?
He says, third, we promise as we take the sacrament to keep his commandments, all of them.
All of them. Do you think many Latter-day Saints seem to understand that? Perhaps that's why Joseph Fielding Smith was lamenting as he is in that manual citation, Teachings of Presidents of the Church, Joseph Fielding Smith, on page 100. Sure, they pray a prayer when they partake of the sacrament, and that prayer includes keeping the commandments. But Eyring spells it out. When you make that prayer as a Latter-day Saint, you're not supposed to be thinking you're just going to give it the old college try. You're promising God you're going to keep them all. But yet no Latter-day Saint does that. So they come back the very next week and they make the same promise and they make it over and over and over again. And it makes you wonder, at what point in the Latter-day Saint's life do they finally realize, I'm never going to keep this promise, but yet they keep making it anyway.
But think about also the temple recommend that a person needs to have to be able to enter into a temple. What does that person have to say to the bishop, that I'm just working on my next tank and I need to refill it? No, that person has to have it filled. That person has to be obeying the commandments. And if you say, well, I'm doing half of what I'm supposed to do, you're not going to be able to get the necessary credential to be able to go into the temple so you can make additional covenants.
Do you think Bradley Wilcox understands what you just said, though?
I think that he does. I'm just thinking a lot of the people who are hearing his talk are not really understanding this.
If he really does understand it, though, Eric, saying the things he does tends to make me think he's including a bit of deception here. Why isn't he more upfront on a lot of these requirements? Why does he have to camouflage it with a lot of these catchy little phrases and such, and then see members of his own church loving what he had to say, but yet, if he really knows he holds to a more traditional view of Mormonism, hasn't he become a person who's misleading? See, this is why I think guys like Bradley Wilcox can be very dangerous, because if these people that are pouring these accolades on him for this message misunderstood what he said and somehow assume that what he's saying means, I don't have to keep those commandments perfectly or continuously, as it says in Doctrine and Covenants, section 25, verse 15, and feel good about myself anyway. If that's not what Mormonism really requires, is not Wilcox deceiving people by allowing them to think something that maybe he personally did not mean?
But Latter-day Saints, as we pointed out yesterday, are gravitating toward this talk because, Bill, they are looking for hope.
I think they are, and I think they want what we as evangelicals have. Unfortunately, Mormonism is not going to allow them to have it. I think a lot of people are going to end up misunderstanding what Wilcox is actually trying to say.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism.